I'm going to tell you a story. Before I got married, I did several different jobs here in America. And one of the things that I did, I was working in a hotel in Florida. But the only opening they had was third shift. And I was in need of working. But the third shift really didn't accommodate well in my system. It was hard. The first week was miserable. I couldn't really maintain myself awake. And I was, every time I was trying to, I'm not trying to say that I was cheating, but I was looking for a place that I can, but it was hard. I was going to the bathroom several times and wash my face. It was horrible. Because I realized that is it not true that God created day and night, day to work, day to do the things that we normally do, going to school, work, and being with the family, and the night to go to sleep, right? So but after seeing, I mean, our bodies need to rest in order to function. But today, in the world that we are living, there are still people working on third shift. We appreciate people that work on third shift because of these people, we have food in our tables, we have many other services, and we appreciate those things. But I can see clearly that God wants us to do the work during the day. And I'm not talking about the work that you and I do for daily living. I'm talking about the spiritual work. The work that God is calling us to do before the night is coming. And before we go to scripture, let's pray. Father God, thank you for allowing us to open your word, to study together. Today is the day where we can come together in peace and with freedom. But very soon will come the day that we were not able to study word the way we study today. So help us to take this counsel seriously in our lives and implement it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 9, verse 4 is Jesus talking with his disciples. And when you look in the Bible, and if you have this type of Bible where the red letters are there, what that means, the red letters? Jesus' words, right? So Jesus' words are important. And he came to this world to do what? To die for our sins, perfect, but also to present the character of the Father. The enemy of God tried to deceive people. Oh, God is not good, he is unfair, and all those things. Remember what Philip asked God, Jesus, please show us the Father. And what did he say? You have seen the Father. So Jesus knew that in his time in this earth, his ministry was a short time. He needed to do the work as soon as possible because he knew that his time was coming to be crucified. So he gathered 12 disciples. He trained them. But he had a core of 3 disciples. John, James, and Peter. He knew that out of these people would come a great movement called Christianity. Amen? So he was working for the future. He knew that doing this work was important for him. And he said in his word, John 9:4, I must work the works of him who sent me. Well, it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. In the time of Jesus, somebody told me that there were people working the night, but actually they did not work in the night. They work in the first hours of the day, around maybe 3, 4, the fishermen. They will go early in the morning and fish and fishing. But in the time of Jesus, nobody worked in the night. They knew that when the night was coming, the day was over. They need to do their work and go home and be with their families. There was no electricity. There was no factories. So Jesus knew that his time was short in this earth, and that's why he said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. So Jesus, being the king of the universe, he limited himself in this time to do the work. 3 years and a half. I mean, some people complain when the conferences move pastors every 4 or 5 years. Imagine Jesus 3 years and a half, and after that dying and resurrecting and going back to heaven. Jesus came and did the great work of salvation that you and I, we cannot do. He saved us. He gave us eternal life. He gave us grace. But today, in the world that we are living, Christianity is like, okay, I got grace. Perfect. Wonderful. Let me continue living my normal life. Grace doesn't make Christian people lazy. And I'm talking about spiritually lazy. Today, we are living in a world where pastor can do this. The elders can do this. I'm fine here. As long as I come and I give my tithes and offerings, I'm fine. But is it not true that Jesus empowered his disciples and gave them a command to go and spread the word, because he knew that this Christian movement will reach to the end of the days and to all peoples in the world? Today it seems like we are no part of that movement anymore. Matthew 28 gives us the Great Commission. And even though we are so caught up with the things that we do every day, and we don't realize that the night is about to come, we must work the works of the one who sends us while it is day. A work with sacrifice. Jesus didn't have a nice penthouse. He never had a car. He never had an airplane. He didn't even have a place to place his head. But he worked so hard because he was focused. He knew why he came to this world. And the enemy was working also. Ellen G. White says that the demonic activity was increased when Jesus came to this world. Why? Because the devil is the great antagonist in all history. Every time Jesus was healing somebody, the enemy was afflicting somebody. And that's the same thing, that he knows that Jesus is about to come again to take us home. And the demonic activities are increasing, maybe 10 times more like before. But we don't realize those things, because we are living in a day where you have your truth, I have my own truth. Uncomfortable here, I leave you alone there. Jesus came, he was punished, they slapped his face, they spit on his face, they put a crown of thorns in his head, and he never complained because he was focused. He knew that he had to go through all those things in order for us to be saved. What an amazing sacrifice. But today we don't sacrifice anything. Today we hesitate in putting our hands in our pockets. We hesitate when somebody tells us, or the pastor or a leader, we're going to have an outreach this afternoon. Oh, I have something to do this afternoon. What else you can do on the Sabbath if it's not give it to the Lord? Amen? Our rescue was made despite of betrayal. Despite of his own disciples leaving him. But he did all this because he loves us. What a wonderful sacrifice. Jesus was taking off the cross dead, apparently defeated by his enemies. But in his defeat, it was victory. Because we can claim salvation. Amen? And in his resurrection, that blessed work that Jesus did in our behalf, salvation by grace, will end the day that he will come again. And today people are so busy in their own lives, that they say, well, I got Jesus now. I know Jesus. But what about the world that is dying? We have news every single day with where people die in every place. But it's okay because I don't live there. My family is not there. I'm fine and secure in the United States. But people are dying everywhere without knowing Jesus. And what we are doing. Oh, Pastor, but I cannot go to those places. I don't have the means. I don't have the talents that you probably have. But is it not true that God has given us a territory, a place where we live, where we can make an impact in people's lives around us? It is time to work while the day is still day, while the day lasts. Time has always been and will be man's worst enemy. Every Friday, people, and tell me if this is not true, when Sabbath is about to approach, we are so busy, so in a hurry. Let me finish this. Let me vacuum here. Let me wash the dishes. Let me prepare the food. I wish I can have more time. I wish I can have more hours. Is it not true that we always say those things? I used to go on Southern, and I remember I was going on classes in the morning, afternoon working. I work in the Iris Reading. I work in Home Depot. I work in a university. And then coming back home, have supper with my family, and do my homework. And let me tell you, going to sleep at 2, 3 in the morning wasn't fun. And I was begging, Lord, I wish those days can be longer so I can have more time to finish my assignments. But Jesus knew that his time was short. And he wants to make sure that his disciples learn the good news. He prepared them. He equipped them. And in the day of Pentecost was the day where they realized that it was time to go out and preach. They were afraid. Persecution came. Finally, they went out. And thousands, and even today, millions of people claim to be Christians now. Just because of this movement that it was initiated by Jesus and passed it to his disciples. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, in Revelation 1:8. Jesus, being eternal, cannot be just a spectator of this great conflict. He came, and he also promised to be with you. We are in the middle of this great controversy, and what a privilege it is to work for Jesus. But we are not doing our work. The day is about to be over. And I don't know you, if you had children, but if you ever had children, and you probably remember this. We went to the mall yesterday, way before the hours of the Sabbath, of course. So they were playing in this play area. And I heard a lady who was with, probably was, her grandkid. Her grandkid was having fun in the play area. And the lady was in a hurry. I don't know. She had to go back home. And she said, let's go. You know how children are. They don't want to go when they're having fun. And she repeated again and repeated again. And then she came and she said, this is the reason why I don't like to bring you here. Because every time I bring you here, you don't want to leave. And isn't that the truth? That when we are living in this world, we like this world, and we are so attached to this world. But Jesus is promising something better, where there is no death, no sorrow, no tear, no sickness. The day is about to be over. And the church, and in a personal way, each one of us are called to do something, to do the works of Him who sent us. None of us shall be indifferent to God's call. Oh, you have the calling. You are the pastor. You should do the work. No. Everyone is called to do the work of the Lord. If there was a time of great need in which we have to be united, men and women, all together and preach the gospel is today. Today is the day where we can realize that there is no time to be playing around, playing church, playing being Christian. Today is time to get off the fence. And I wonder if everybody had that clear. And please, don't get me wrong. I did not come 10 hours driving to give you a pep talk or anything like that. I'm telling you because I believe as a pastor that we are called to do something. But not to gain salvation, but to be part of this great movement. There is a quote, "The secret of success in the work of God will be found in the harmonious work of our people. There must be concentrated action. Every member of the body of Christ." What did I say? Every member of the body of Christ must play his part in the cause of God according to the capacity that God has given him or her. We must move together to overcome obstacles and shoulder to shoulder and heart to heart difficulties. The night is coming, says the Word of God. What time of the day do we say that night is approaching? I believe it depends where you live, right? And the time of the year. In Michigan, 4:30 in winter or 5, basically the day is almost over. But it doesn't matter what time. We have to do our part. And when the time is coming where there is no more time to do something, you need to be satisfied. This is the thing. Today, we beg people to work in the church. Hey, let's do an outreach. Let's go and visit somebody. Let's do a Bible study. Let's do evangelism. And people say, oh, I'm fine. You can do it, Pastor. You can do it, Sister. You can do it, Brother. The time is coming where you will come and say, finally, I got it. Let's go and do visitation. I'm sorry. The night is here already. But what about evangelism? I will give you $1,000 and let's do evangelism right now. I'm sorry. There is no more time for that. What about Bible studies? That's it. There is nothing that we can do. If we haven't done before, there's no way we can do it now. Probation is closed. Deny was always related to the most horrendous crimes in history. And is it not true that when you see people in the day, they look different than the people that you see in the night? I used to live in New York City. And I used to live in Lima, Peru. It's a big city, 10 million people, almost like New York. And people in the night are so different, believe me. They look different, they talk different, they act different, they do things different, believe me. The night is coming. The night of the Sunday law. The night where we cannot buy or sell. The night of the persecution. The night when it is too late and the time of grace is over. And many people will be sad and desperate because they did not took the time to work while the day lasts. If for Jesus 2,000 years ago the night was so close, imagine how close it is for us today. No doubt the night is coming very soon to this world. What do you think? Amen? When no one can work. Most people work during the day. I know, as I mentioned, many people still working in the night. But the night was made to rest. How many of you, when it's time to go to bed, you do your prayer, lay down, and automatically close your eyes and do this? I find myself going to bed and taking some time while I'm taking the feeling that I'm going to sleep, to reflect on what I have done in the day, to think about my words, my actions, is kind of like a meditation moment. But when we live in a period of time where we can still preaching and knocking and visiting people, today is the day we should be all involved, because very soon we won't be able to do all those things. So when you go to bed and lay down, think about the things that you did and say, Lord, thank you. Give me another day, please, that I can do maybe double the work that I've been doing today or that I did today. Very soon the night will come when no one can work. The churches will be closed and the Adventist people will be persecuted. At that moment, many will realize that the end is coming and they will want to preach. They will want to look for people to give Bible studies. They will like to go and visit people. Let's do an evangelistic campaign. But it will be too late. Because from heaven, Jesus' voice will be heard. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. This is the voice that announces the end of the time of grace for this world. Today is the time that we commit ourselves to work for the Lord, for the advancement of His kingdom. Because is it not true that Jesus came to this world to die even for those who hate Him? Why is it that we cannot do the same work? Let me tell you a story. Some months ago, my kids, they always want a pet. And some months ago, I finally bought a dog. His name was Otis, yes. And he was a blue heeler. I don't know if you know a blue heeler. Australian cattle dog. And beautiful dog. It was a puppy. He was very smart. But we have some issues with the potty training. So I took the dog outside every morning. And my neighbor next door, there was no division between the two houses. There was not a fence. There was nothing there. It's just my garden, my yard, and then the house. And this lady had two dogs this big. I'm probably exaggerating. Maybe it's like this. Well, who in the world have horses in their house? But let me tell you, those dogs were huge. And as I was taking my dog out, I just turned for a moment, and I heard the dog say, "Oop!" I turned, and the two dogs jumped to my property, and they tried to attack the poor puppy, and they traumatized the poor puppy. The puppy didn't want to do potty anymore outside. And I say to the dogs, "Get out of here!" With a very strong voice, a very firm voice. My wife came out of the house with a broom, and she kind of do like this and try to scare the dogs. And the lady from next door, she came out, and I say to her, "Please, can you take your dogs out of my property?" And I'm a pastor, and so I was trying to be kind. And she said, okay. And if they cross my property again, I'm going to call the police. Remember, I'm a pastor. So, and she says something in her lips, whatever. She went inside. Well, unfortunately, time passed. We had to get rid of the dog because it was hard to deal with the dog after that episode. The dog started doing his bathroom situation inside of the house. So we get rid of the dog. And a couple weeks ago, we have Easter Sunday, right? So my wife had the great idea to pass some flyers to the community. So we prepared those little baggies with glow tracks and the address of our nearest church. So and we planned to go in our community and share those glow tracks. So when we went out, my wife said, "Whoa, let's go to the neighbor." I said, "No, let's go around. Let's go around." And I'm a pastor. So, and she said, well, let's go then. So we did our work. I mean, the kids did an amazing job. They were happy Easter, and here it is, and everything. And we encouraged people. We talked with people, and it was a blessing. So when we came back, everything was fine. We never went to the neighbor's house. And 2 weeks later, we have a small school in one of our churches, and they have a field trip to Butter Creek. And we live 1 hour, 45 minutes away from Butter Creek. So we always try to join the school and support the school. So we went to this field trip. After the field trip was over, we came back home. And when we came back home, I noticed, before I opened the door, from the back door, that somebody threw eggs on the wall and the door. And I was like, who did this? It was a mess. So my wife told me, check the camera. We have a security camera outside. So I went inside, checked my phone, started looking in the history of the videos. And here it was. The two kids from my neighbor, they threw eggs in my house. I have to be honest, I was infuriated. I went outside, and I noticed my wife told me, I think the father is about to leave. He was backing up with his truck, and I went, and I crossed, knocked the window of his truck while he was moving slowly, and he stopped, put the window down, and he said, yes. He never talked to me. We never, you see, sometimes you live with somebody next door and you don't even know their names, unfortunately. And I say, excuse me, can I show you a video? Yeah, what is it? Can you recognize these kids in this video? He looked in the video and he said, what? Let me fix this very quick. He went inside of the house. He did what he needed to do. He brought the kids. And he said, well, who did this? And the kid said, oh, it wasn't me. Oh, no? Can you show them the video? I showed them the video, and they said, it was him. No, it wasn't. They start blaming each other. And they say, I don't care. I see Bo did this, and you guys are going to clean it, the guy said. And they brought soap and water, and then start cleaning everything on the siding. He was embarrassed. He really was in trouble, the guy. And, you know, he tried to be nice with me. He said, man, I work, I'm a firefighter. I also work in the school crossing guard. I'm a school crossing guard. But I also have my company, gardening company, landscaping company. I can bring rocks. I can bring edgings and stuff like that. Don't worry. Okay. So, and he said, well, what do you do for a living? And I look at him and I say, well, do you really want to know? And he said, yes, of course. And he say, and I say, well, I'm a pastor. The guy look at me and say, oh, no. I'm so sorry. I mean, you are a man of God. And I mean, my kids are doing all those things. And, you know, I'm going through a divorce. And I forgot one detail. When I knocked the window of his car, he was with a lady in the car. That is, it wasn't the wife. Automatically clicked, and I was like, this kid, we haven't done anything wrong to this family. And if those kids did this, it's because there was some frustration, maybe. There was something going on in their lives, and this divorce going on affect those kids. Believe me, I feel miserable. I feel bad. I feel sad. I feel like a failure. Because I told my wife, no, why we should go and waste our time? Because I was afraid, because she saw my temper already. She saw who I was. And then show up and say, visit our church. I feel like a so hypocrite. After the kids finished cleaning, I said to them, you know, I need to talk to you. I'm not mad at you guys, but please don't do this again. So I'm going to ask you for a favor. I gave them two magazines from the Sabbath School for Kids, and I say, read those magazines, please. Can you do this? And they say, yes, we can do it. And that's the minimum that I could do for what all the mess that I did before. Turns out that the lady who was with the guy was the new girlfriend. The guy left. He said, well, very good to meet you. He gave me his number, his name. And then I went home and I shared this with my wife. And we both cried. Because you see what is the problem with humanity? We just see what we can see. But we don't know what is going on in people's hearts and lives. For that reason, I feel so miserable that these people need more than ever Jesus in their lives. And we just try to avoid them. Just because the big dogs scare my little puppy. How sad it is. And at the same way, many people in our churches, they don't like each other. They don't talk to each other. They don't love each other. But God has a good sense of humor that even if somehow you can make it to heaven, He will put you as a neighbor of that person for 1,000 years. So my prayer today is that you can realize that our people in desperate need of Jesus, that our kids that are in the midst of confusion, broken homes, that they are acting in a way that they really don't want to be acting. So I beg you today, I ask you, that you can realize that the day is about to be over. Put your overalls, put your clothes of worker, and go out and reach your work. Reach the people who are next to you. Reach the people that are in your job. Reach the people that go in the school with you. And do your work, because the night is over. And I want Jesus to come and look at my eyes. And I can be able to look at His eyes and say, I know you. But most beautiful it will be when He say to me or to you, I know you too. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. And for Jesus who came to this world to find us, to rescue us, even though we don't deserve anything. But I ask you, Lord, that we can be able to be like Jesus. That we can realize that there is a world that is dying. And the enemy seems to be winning. But Father, you have called us for something wonderful that is working with you. Bless this church. Bless every single member. That we can realize that it's time to work hard. Because the night is coming where we cannot do anything else. Just wait for you. And receive you in the clouds of heaven. Thank you for everything. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us for our unbelief. And for our lack of faith. For our lack of work. Make us new people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.